now. Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Hello and welcome to another special edition of Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. I'm Laura Turner. Well, our guest tonight is a woman who'd likely know her way around Parliament House Canberra with her eyes closed. She's racked up almost a quarter of a century in federal politics and retired this year as the longest-serving woman in the House of Representatives. She was the first woman to ever be elected as deputy leader by any major party and has been described as a policy wonk with unshakable conviction and ceaseless determination to see the right thing done. We have her to thank for the paid parental leave scheme. She was instrumental in the historic apology to the stolen generation and crucial to the NDIS rollout. It is my pleasure to welcome a trailblazer, a woman who still has a lot of work to do, Jenny Macklin. Welcome to Great Australian Lives.
Thank you, Laura.
How
Lovely
are you?
To be with you.
How do you like that intro? You've done a lot.
It's always a bit embarrassing.
I'm sure. You are a hard worker and, as we were talking off air, someone who loves detail and research and you're very thorough. But after 23 years, you know, with your mind being Canberra-focused, federal politics, how are you enjoying the new chapter?
I'm very happy, to be honest. The couple of very significant things happened in our lives. So we have two little grandchildren. So
beautiful.
Nothing like two little babies, as you would know, to completely
Turn everything
your life.
Upside down.
That's right. And I know everybody says this, but it is the most incredible experience being a grandmother.
Yes.
And so that's very special. And because I had so much time away from my own children, I really did want to make sure that didn't happen again, that I would have more time to be with these two little ones. And you never know, there might be more. Hope my children aren't listening. And so that was a big thing. I think too, though, you just do get to the point where you need to make a change in your life. And so I don't have any regrets. I'm not a looking back kind of person anyway. Yeah. But It's great to have the opportunity at this stage of life to do new things.
I can imagine, Jenny, after all those years, that there must have been times, you know, tough times in Canberra when everything's happening, other times when, I don't know this, but maybe you become bored or feel like you've had your time.
Don't know about bored.
Well, you know, you feel in need for a change, that you sort of flirt with the idea of retirement. Mm. Did that happen to you a few times before you knew it's time? And how did you know?
Well, not so much that I thought about retiring, but that I there certainly were some very, very hard times. Mm. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Losing elections is very difficult, and we were in opposition for a long time. We had a lot of leadership turmoil, which is, you know, very distressing as much as anything else.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And so there certainly were some very hard times that I guess the thing that drove me was that I knew that the reason I went into politics is you can actually really make a big difference, and to have the chance to be in government and be a minister and do things like pay parental leave was a big deal. So having that goal always in front of me, I guess, kept me going.
You're a modest lady, but as you just mentioned, even just paid parental leave on its own, what a massive achievement and feather in your cap. I mean, women like me have you to thank for something I couldn't do without.
It's been a wonderful thing over the last, well, it's nearly 10 years ago that it was introduced, 2011. And so many young women I meet who, like you, who have been able to take time off work to spend those precious early months with their newborn baby or babies in your case, and also dads. And if I can just put in a plug for all the dads who are also taking off time from their jobs and spending time with their babies, I think we all understand just what a wonderful time it is.
Yep.
But the more that we can have all of us support new parents, the better off we are. I think business really understands that.
Certainly a ripple effect, isn't
there? There really is. And one of the great things I've seen over the very long time I've been working to bring about this change is really how business has cottoned on that it's good for parents and it's good for babies, but it's also very good for business.
Yes, certainly. Now, you have recently been inducted as the chairperson, the new chairperson of Odyssey House, of which I'm on the board with you. I'll talk about that in a little while. But first of all, I just want to discuss some of the really key moments in your life before we got to this point. 1996, a younger Jenny. Did you have any? I mean, that was your first election. How was that? Can you put into words that feeling?
Well, it was incredibly exciting, and even though Labor lost the 1996 election, and frankly lost it badly, and for those who'd been in the parliament for a long time before that, it was a devastating experience for them. So it was a strange feeling because I was so happy to be there, so happy to have been elected, and I was immediately elected onto the front bench. So I was a shadow minister for aged care, actually. And so I just saw it as a wonderful opportunity and really got stuck into it. I was scared, of course. I still remember my first speech all those years ago being completely terrified.
Do you remember the word for word?
No, but I do remember the feeling.
Yes.
And it really was very, very exciting to be there and have the chance.
What were some of the early issues that you faced? Because I always, at election time and you see new faces, I always think to myself, imagine winning and then being pushed out in front of the media and questions asked about policy and huge issues that you're not immediately ready to talk about. Do you remember that not feeling as educated on issues and not being able to articulate things because you're not practiced?
Yes, that's right. And certainly not used to the media. I think even more basic than that, I wasn't really used to being out in the public. So I'd been a researcher, someone who was used to doing the
behind closed
sort
doors.
Of behind the scenes work. And one of the hardest things I found was that, you know, you might think it's a bit basic, but you have to be out there and available for people. You have to introduce yourself. You're asking people to vote for you and
put yourself out there.
Really putting yourself out there. And I can remember those street walks. John Kane, the previous premier, at that time, he lived in my area. His electorate of Bundoora was in my electorate of Jagga Jagga, and he came door knocking with me. And it was a wonderful thing to see someone who not only knew everyone, he knew everybody by name, he knew who they, which footy team they barrack for.
That's great.
And he just had this wonderful, he was a wonderful example, still a wonderful example of what a good local member can be like. And so I found that.
You're taking notes.
That's right. I found that local experience really enormously eye-opening and rewarding.
Now, on to the moment that you became the first woman in Australian history to be appointed deputy leader of a major Australian political party. Huge achievement, especially especially then when we didn't see as many women in Canberra.
No, well, when I first went in on the Labor side, we only had four women in the House of Representatives, so it was pretty poor effort, frankly. There were more women at that point on the coalition side.
Wow.
So things have
Changed.
Things have completely reversed.
And you thank the quota for that, don't you?
Yes, I do. So now on the Labor side, we're almost at 50-50, men and women. And that really is because we, back in the mid-90s, decided that the only way to turn this around and to make sure we got enough women into the parliament so that it really is the House of Representatives,
yeah.
We have a quota. And I do think that that has...
It's controversial, isn't it?
It was controversial at the time, but I really think it's worked and the evidence really demonstrates that. I know that there certainly are Liberal women who also see that this really is the only way to go to make sure that they too get women in their rightful place in the House.
When do you recall your emotions when you were taking that big step to become Simon Crean's deputy? I mean, did you feel like history was being made, or is that more of a looking back?
Oh, no, I did because, of course, a lot of people commented on it at the time. You raised the question about media. That's when I really did have to step up, so to speak, because, of course, you're in a leadership position and expected to play that role. Yeah. I had done a lot of media because I was in my second term from 1998. I was the Shadow Minister for Health, and so that required a huge amount of media. So I at least got a bit more experience and wasn't so terrified of people like you.
People like me, come on.
But it was a big deal.
Was it an aspiration for you?
No, it hadn't been actually. It was one of those things that often happens in life, I think, not just in politics, you can get lucky and things happen, opportunities come your way, and I've always taken the view that take your chance if it comes along.
Yeah. Speaking of chances and big decisions, November 2006, this is Kevin Rudd. The polls are suggesting that Kevin Rudd would do better than Kim Beazley. There's a whole mess here with leadership spills, and your job was taken.
It was. Well, I in fact decided to step aside because...
But you knew that your job would be taken.
No, I think I probably had the numbers actually, but I decided that the mood of the caucus was for change and that... Kevin and Julia had really presented themselves as a team. It was a very, very difficult time. There's no question that leadership changes of, I think, in any political party, frankly.
Well, haven't we seen our fair share of them?
On all sides.
Yes.
So none of us can, feel like it's not happening in our show.
Yeah.
But it was hard. It was very, very hard. And
have you ever regretted resigning? And I know you said before you don't normally look back, but that was a pretty significant moment.
It was. And, occasionally you think, well, what might have been? But I really was determined to get over it. Mm. And so after a little while of, being a bit miserable, I did go and see Julia Gillard and say to her, look, let's put this aside, and we both want to make sure that we're able to contribute to what we hope would be a Labor government. And as it turned out, we did win the election. And I think she and I really did put it behind us, and we're able to work together very successfully and deliver some very big reforms.
You absolutely did. And it's incredible that you could put it behind you and move on, because we've seen so much and so many relationships and are still seeing where clearly, no matter what we're hearing, it's not been put to bed.
That is very true. Mm. And I think that's probably true in life, isn't it? That some people are able to say, well, that happened and, yeah, sure, it was hard. But if you have a bigger goal, if there are things you want to achieve and you know you're going to have to get on with people to achieve them, then it's a good idea to have that as your perspective, rather than feeling sorry for yourself, or, as I've seen with so many people, bitterness is it's a terrible thing, and it just means you can't achieve what you want to achieve.
It must be, I can't imagine, but Canberra would be a place where you're in each other's pockets so much. So you've in situations where there's a spill, you've got to learn not to take it personally. But it is while it's politics, it is personal. You're living, as I said, in such close quarters.
It's true.
You're human at the end, but you've got to try and keep perspective of the end goal, don't you?
It is a very strange place to spend so much of your time because you never get out. You know, I used to get in very early. I'm a swimmer, so I'd swim early in the morning, and then basically the day would start about 7 o'clock with media and preparation for the day. And sometimes you wouldn't get out of Parliament House till 10 o'clock at night, you know, so it's not a normal life.
No.
That sort of high pressure closed environment does lead to difficult. This is putting it mildly.
Diplomatic to the end, Jenny. Well, there's plenty more still to come on Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funeral, celebrating lives. In a moment, we'll find out what life was like for a young Jenny Macklin growing up in regional Victoria and how her path turned to Canberra. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals. Tonight, we are celebrating the life and incredible monumental achievements of former federal politician Jenny Macklin. Jenny, before the break, we talked about you were in Canberra for a long time, nearly 25 years, but in a really tumultuous time. We would remember with Kevin and Julia and spills, you end up back in power. But I want to rewind way back to the 50s. We have young Jenny.
Seems like a long time
ago. She's born in Brisbane, little Jenny with political aspirations in her eyes.
I don't think so.
But your family moved to Victoria. Was that pretty soon after being born?
So my dad is a Queenslander, so he was born up in Mackay, actually.
Oh, wow.
And his mum was born in a little town west of Mackay in a town called Clermont. So they're real Queenslanders.
Yeah.
Mum had gone up to Brisbane. She'd done drafting at Sydney Tech when she finished school in Sydney, and had set off as a very adventurous young woman and met Dad in the Brisbane City Council office. They got together and I'm the result. And as two young adventurous people, they decided to set off to make their own lives.
Yep.
And first of all, Dad got a job as the Shire Engineer in Hay.
Oh, wow.
In Western New South Wales, where my sister was born. Mm-hmm. So we were only there for a couple of years. And then we went down to another smallish country town in northern Victoria, Cahoona, where I went to primary school at the Cahoona Consolidated School. Mm. And it was a wonderful place to be a kid.
I can imagine.
Just
great childhood.
The enormous freedom that you have in a small country town. You could ride your bike absolutely everywhere, although it wasn't really allowed. Swim in the irrigation channels and fish for yabbies. And, it was...
What a life.
Great childhood.
Would you call yourself a country girl still?
I certainly would.
Do you go back to Cahoona?
No. We moved from Cahoona to Wangaratta when I was in first year of high school. So I went to Wangaratta High School, and Mum and Dad moved to Melbourne, wasn't back for them.
Yes.
Moved to Melbourne, and so they're here. So all of the families here, all of our immediate family, their families are still in Sydney and Brisbane. But yes, I went back to the... a big school reunion at Wangaratta High. Mm. So that was fun. Some of my old schoolmates were there. And
could any of them believe where you'd ended up?
I think they
did. They know? Because often you might come across people who don't, you know, they don't read the papers. They don't.
Yeah,
they knew.
I think they knew.
Oh, they knew.
Yeah, they knew.
From meeting those kids at school, were you the kind of sort of cliche kid who was part of the debating team, who we knew was going to end up in some sort of public life or politics.
I didn't see myself doing that. Yeah. I didn't know anyone in that sort of role. I was a Queen's Guide and, you know, I was active in the community. I was a prefect at school, you know.
So you're ticking some of the boxes.
I guess I had a lot of, you know, without knowing it, got a lot of the support and guidance that you need for that sort of role later in life. But I didn't know it at the time.
What were you good at school? What were you? Did you study politics? Did you study?
No. I was a maths and science student. And then...
So you possess the part of the brain that I don't.
Well, it must have gone. It must have been put to one side for a while. I tell you, it hasn't been used a lot since I went into Parliament. But one of the huge changes for me was I got the chance to go to Japan as an exchange student in 1970, and you obviously weren't around at the time, but it was a very different time in Australia. The White Australia policy had really just formally ended. Many of us, me included, have relatives who were in the war and so for whom relationships with Japanese people were still very fraught. So it was an extraordinary opportunity to go at that time. And I've made lifelong friends. I had the most wonderful Japanese family who I've kept in touch with, and we've been back a few times. And they, when my Japanese parents were still alive, they came and stayed with us in Wangaratta, which have been an enormous shock.
I was going to say, what a culture shock for them. Yeah. Yes. Even just coming into Australia at that time, at the tail end of all that,
with
attitudes very different to the way they are now.
That's
But then going into country Victoria, where it's even smaller.
Yeah. And, you know, it was Mum and Dad came as well to see me in Japan. These were, of course, days long before the internet. And so we wrote letters.
Nobody's FaceTiming, that's for sure.
No, there was none of that and no phone calls, just all letters.
And how did they, what was their attitude? How did they feel about going to Japan? Were they?
I think they had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
And
Were they supportive of you going?
Wonderfully, yes. Yeah, it was just one of those incredible experiences, life-changing experiences.
So you come back to Australia a changed
woman. I just should put in a plug for Rotary because they sent me.
Okay.
And I just am forever grateful.
Yeah. Mm. So you arrived back in Australia a changed young woman.
I really
and
was.
Did that put you on the trajectory towards the life you ended up,
I think
the career you ended up?
Yes. The thing that really changed was that I didn't continue with a straight science path, which I think I would have otherwise.
Yep.
My dad was an engineer and so he supported and encouraged both my sister and I in the sciences.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this was really a huge shift. Of course, I learned to speak Japanese.
Wow.
And
do you still?
Badly, very badly. We won't go there.
Okay.
I did, one of the great things I got to do when I was in Parliament was actually welcome the Japanese Prime Minister.
Oh, beautiful.
In Japanese.
Beautiful.
And so I practiced like that.
I was going to say, I bet you were.
Being a bit of a swot, I did put a lot into it.
Konnichiwa.
It was a whole speech that I had to learn.
That's all I know, on a count to three. That's incredible. So it changes your perspective. You changed your focus a little.
Yeah, so I decided to do economics at university because the maths was useful and because I really didn't know what else to do. And, it was at a time when Australia had, we were going through a big very strong period of trade with Japan.
Yep.
So the combination of economics and Japanese seemed to be something that might be useful. And I do think the economics that I learnt has stood me in good stead.
Well, certainly you ended up with an honours degree in economics.
I did.
You?
Yes. Yeah. Very long time ago.
Very, very diligent young lady from the very beginning. Were there many women? That was the early 70s. Were there many women in the economics department?
There were, yes. And Melbourne Uni was very generous at the time, streaming off the – there was about 20 of us put into an honours a stream, and we were taught separately, but there were some very smart other – some of the women were – I mean, the men too were terrific. And, they were both.
Now, we know you're an incredibly intelligent young Jenny Macklin in University of Melbourne, receiving an honours degree. But was there a university, Jenny, that we don't know about? I mean, I know we're talking off air about a recent guest we had on, Normie Rowe, a young pop star.
That was more that was a bit earlier in the 60s, of course, when I was a teenager.
But you've revealed a side of yourself. Young Jenny loves pop music. Did you live the university lifestyle? Were you swilling beer?
No. No.
Oh.
Sorry to say. there were some very bad activities, which I was a bit shocked about. I think this is where the country kid thing comes in.
Yeah.
Seeing some of the beer drinking that went on, you know, on the lawns at Melbourne Uni by the commerce students and the engineering students.
Really?
Frankly, mostly boys. wasn't really for me, but I think a lot of it was because I really was still pretty intimidated, to be honest, by being in the city. I lived in International House when I first came to Melbourne, and that was a wonderful experience. They were, well, both very welcoming, but there were also a lot of other country kids and also, of course, international students. And this was long before there were lots and lots of international students at university. And so it was often the case that us country kids and the international students would sort of sit down the front.
Stick together.
In a little huddle. Slightly, more than slightly terrified by all the city kids.
What did you do outside uni then? Did you have... extracurricular.
The International House side of it was great, and I made some lifelong friends there. I love sport, so I played.
You were swimming back then?
Swimming, and I played hockey for Melbourne Uni, bushwalking, so a lot of the sort of country things. And
you're not giving me anything.
No, sorry about that.
You're not in politics anymore. You can
talk about all my old boyfriends. I don't think so.
Well, I'm Laura.
We might leave that to one.
Oh, come on. I've got one coming in. He's going to do a This Is Your Life. No, I'm only joking. Did you know then? Was there any inkling that politics was on the cards?
No.
Still not?
No, still not. No, I was still really finding my city feet.
Wow.
And still, I think the confidence to live in the city is a really big thing. And that was one of the reasons that I went to Canberra for work at the end of, once I finished at uni, I went to work at the university in Canberra. And I do think, looking back, I don't know that I was that aware of it at the time, that I wanted to live in a slightly smaller place.
Yep.
And I do think I found my feet living there.
In Canberra.
It's an easier place to live. Mm. Also great for doing lots of outdoor things, which I love to do.
Yeah.
Bushwalking and cross-country skiing and those sort of things. I got very involved in the group that works as a volunteer on the women's refuge that was just established in Canberra at that time. So this was all very new in the mid-70s when the good thing is that all the issues around family violence are much more out in the open.
Mm.
But in those days they weren't. And so the establishment of the women's refuges was really in its infancy. So that was, it was a big eye-opener for me as someone who'd had a very happy family life and wonderful freedom in the country. But I wanted to do something to support women who found themselves in this circumstance. So,
and you've been a trailblazer for women ever since. You look uncomfortable when I say that, but yeah, it is true. I'm Laura Turner and you're listening to Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, Celebrating Lives. More with Jenny Macklin in just a moment. Great to have your company on Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, Celebrating Lives. I'm Laura Turner and tonight we are celebrating the life, an incredible career of trailblazing former politician Jenny Macklin, who retired from federal politics earlier this year after nearly a quarter of a century serving the Australian people. You now hold a position as Vice Chancellor's Fellow at the University of Melbourne in the School of Government. So you're, you're researching policy and that sort of thing now, aren't you?
You've gone back. It actually is... a lovely feeling to be back at Melbourne Uni. It feels...
Do you feel a little more confident now?
Just a little. I've got a few few life experiences under my belt.
Are you going to the pub yet? Are you swilling beer yet?
Not in the way that I think you mean.
So you're not skipping...
out.
Not turning up to your commitments like sometimes maybe I
maybe
might have done with a
no,
few...
No, no. Okay. Not my thing.
No. Okay. Well, I think we've established that. So you're doing this sort of research.
Yes. Giving lectures and doing things with students and academic staff and trying to share some of my experience with them, which is a great thing to be able to do. People have been very welcoming. So that's been really, I can't tell you how important that's been for the transition out of politics to have such a lovely environment.
Speaking of the transition, I can imagine you would have had, when you did retire from federal politics, you would have had 1,000 emails saying,
quite a few.
Please join my board. Please come and work here. I know that you were contacted or you did decide on joining Odyssey House, where I am on the board with you, but you are the chairperson. Mm. How and why did you decide to choose that over all the others?
I think the fact that I really had a terrific personal connection with Odyssey House.
Before you go on, sorry, I should say, for those who are not familiar with Odyssey House, it is one of Australia's best known rehabilitation facilities for people who suffer from drug and alcohol addiction issues in their lives. And it is a tremendous organisation which really does work on all parts of the individual.
It is.
And it is right throughout many, many communities. And you've chosen to go there and join in.
Yes, and really because I got to know them. The main residential rehabilitation place is located in my old electorate in Lower Plenty. And so I'd been there a number of times. I'd sat with the people who are clients and who have decided that they wanted to deal with their addictions. I knew some of the staff. I was involved in getting some funding for the family centre, and we can talk a little bit more about that if you'd like.
It is a tremendous facility where it allows partners and children to live in with the person who's going through treatment, which is important, isn't it?
It is, and I think the thing that's really struck me it's amazing, really, when you think about it, particularly as parents. You would know this already, even though you're a relatively new
parent.
Very new. just how important it is for a child to be able to maintain the connection with their parents, if it's at all possible. Mm. Obviously, you always have to think about the safety and the needs of the child first, but all the evidence shows that if the child can be with his or her parent, then they're going to be better off.
Right.
That bond is, as we all know from our own parents, just absolutely fundamental to who we are and how we feel about ourselves. And so when Odyssey House proposed that they'd like to establish this place out in Lower Plenty where parents could have their children as they dealt with their addictions, it was a great thing to be able to find the money. We were in government at the time and we were able to find the money and have the facility built. That's since been extended. So all the evidence is showing that it's both good for the children, which is my primary concern.
Yes, of course.
But also very, very good for the mothers and fathers who are going through what can be a very tough time. I know from sitting with the clients and talking to them, it often is their children that will bring them to the point of saying, I really am ready to start dealing with this addiction. And
is that what they've told you personally?
They have.
You do go out and visit and speak personally with clients, don't you? And that's often the catalyst.
Yes. And that was a real eye-opener to me in many ways. One was when people made it so clear to me that as a person with an addiction, you've got to be ready yourself to make the change. Mm-hmm. Somebody telling you or
shipping you off,
shipping you off
facility.
In some way. If you're not ready to come to terms with the situation you're in and the addiction that you have, whatever it is, whatever substance you might be addicted to, then it's more than likely not going to work. So many people have really emphasised that personally with me. And when I've asked them, well, how did you come to this? What was it? What was the thing that really
the light bulb?
Yes, drove you to this decision. So not everybody, but so many said, I really wanted to do it for my children. Mm. It may take a number of times. That's the other thing that so many people have said to me. It doesn't necessarily work the first time. Sometimes it might take a number of goes, but they're the main messages that have really come through to me.
That's the important thing too, isn't it? And it can be a frustrating thing for those close to someone suffering from addiction. It's never an easy, quick fix. Mm. In you go, out you come, out the other side, you know, in however many months, a totally different person. There is, you've got to accept that it's a journey of going in, and it might be a few times that you go in and come out. But I think
is such a strong message that people have given me.
Yeah.
And also the point that you make that it can require lots of different forms of support. So, yes, there's residential rehabilitation and that can work for some people. Other people may not need that. Counselling and support in their community may work for them, and Odyssey House provides that in different parts of Victoria. So it depends on your needs and the sort of person that you are.
Yeah, and I think a very important part of the way Odyssey House does things in comparison to some other facilities, many of which are wonderful, but one thing that Odyssey does do is require the participant to make the phone call themselves. Mm. That's something that I find, really important in terms of the way people have to put their hand up, because lots of times a parent who has a child suffering will do all the ringing around and they'll find the facility and they'll put them in the car and turn up and say, you've got to go and get fixed. And they
and
sort of feel forced
that,
in.
Can't you?
Yeah. But having this policy where they say, no, we're not letting you in until you make the phone call yourself, it's different and it appears to work. I mean, there's great success out there, isn't there?
And that's really, as I say, what's come through to me from the people who've spoken to me about the decisions they've made, that it was really them deciding that they were ready to make the decision to go into residential rehabilitation and start dealing with their addiction, that's made it a success. And that's really the message that I've got loud and clear.
Also, and correct me in terms of who you have seen in there. Obviously, we don't talk about people personally, but are you seeing people from all walks of life. I mean, I know from my work with Odyssey House that I was having a conversation with the CEO the other day. They have literally had someone in there at any point in time from every single suburb of Melbourne. Mm. Are you seeing a reflection of that when you go in there in terms of the types of people? Is it all walks of life?
Yes, it is. And I think the important thing is that Odyssey House is really spreading out into other parts of Victoria. So there's a place near Benalla and a place being built in Bairnsdale and in Wangaratta. Mm. There are counselling services in different parts of Melbourne. Mm. So I think that's an important recognition that it doesn't matter who you are, this can happen to you. And of course, you need to know that you can go and be welcomed and get the support you need.
And there'll be no judgment.
Yeah.
You, as the new chairperson, do you have aspirations? Do you have goals that you have set for yourself in that role?
Well, at the moment, it's because, as you know, it's only just happened.
Oh, come on. What's your plan?
Well, Odyssey House has had enormous growth over the last...
Which is sad in a way, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
it has to be that way.
Yes, but it's also good in two ways. One is it's a real indication of or recognition of the quality of the work that they do because governments, both state and federal, are saying, well, we'll provide more funding to you because the quality of what you do is good. And they're obviously delivering. Of course, all of us would love to see it going the other way.
Yes.
But where addiction exists in the community, we need to make sure that we provide the supports and services for people. So I think the main thing is to, given my background in research and making sure that we have the evidence, I want to make sure that we really do know what works best and look at what happens in alcohol and drug rehabilitation internationally, what works, make sure we're keeping up to date with the best locally and around the world so that Odyssey House continues to be the best that we can make it.
Well, don't go anywhere. You're listening to Great Australian Lives and plenty more still to come with Jenny Macklin up next. This is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, a family-owned business since 1934. Visit tobinbrothers.com.au. Tonight we are celebrating the incredible career of Jenny Macklin, the first woman to become a deputy leader of a major Australian party, but she is so much more than that. Of course, as we mentioned early, Jenny, we have you to thank for paid parental leave. You were instrumental in the NDIS rollout, of course, the apology to the Stolen Generations. Before your role now as chairperson of Odyssey House, do you have a favourite moment of your career in politics that you're most proud of?
The number of people who will benefit from the full rollout of the National Disability Insurance Scheme really makes that, I think, the most significant reform. If you think about the number of people with disability, with severe and profound disability in our community, all of the carers, the families, people who just were not getting the support that they needed to live a decent life before the National Disability Insurance Scheme was created. That has to be the most significant. And I'll never forget the day that it went through the parliament. It went through with unanimous support. Absolutely everyone voted for it. There are implementation issues, and I think that's in a way to be expected with such a huge reform.
Yeah, well, I was just about to say you'd have to be frustrated given that you're not in government anymore and it is a different government now, that there are very well reported issues.
There are.
Which you've spoken about at length,
yeah.
One of which being the cap they've put on.
Well, that's the most frustrating thing for me because it's so easy to fix.
Mm. The cap they put on the number of employees that are allowed to work in the agency.
That's right. So we need more people in the National Disability Insurance Agency to work with people with disability and their families to have the plans and get the services that they need. And I don't want to be political today, but I would just say to the government, lift that cap because that will make a difference. And we, all of us, want to make sure that the National Disability Insurance Scheme delivers for people with disability and for their families. I've seen so many families whose lives have been changed.
Yeah.
It's really worth it.
Jenny Macklin, outside becoming the new chairperson of Odyssey House, looking after your grandchildren, are you going to take a holiday? Is there something you're going to do to congratulate yourself, maybe a bit of a rest after nearly a quarter of a century in federal politics?
As my partner would say, I'm not the resting kind of person.
So you're still not going to the pub. I'm going to get you there.
No. If anything, I want to make sure I get back in the pool.
Okay.
Do more laps.
Yeah. What's your favourite stroke?
Keep fit. I'm a freestyler.
Beautiful. Yeah. Jenny Macklin, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, if you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to share it with a friend, subscribe to the Great Australian Lives podcast. And of course, join me again the same time next week when we celebrate another great Australian life for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.